Okay, today's daf is Nida, Kavchet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kavzayin Amabet, five lines from the bottom. Rish Lakish Amar. Shafir shetrafuhu b'meimav na'asa kemet shenitbabu la'atzurato. He makes a comparison, this afterbirth that kind of has the, the amniotic sac that has, it's kind of all mixed up. Right, and you no longer have a form of an infant inside of a fetus. It's like a mech and bavalat surato. Okay, it's like a dead body that's gotten also. It doesn't have any form anymore. So they say Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. So that's Rish Lakish. In which case, what he's saying is it's tahor. So Amar le Rabbi Yochanan on the Rish Lakish mech and bavalat surato minayin de tahor. He says. From where do you derive that a mechin babalat surato is tahor? And he's going to assume he learns it from somewhere. And then he's going to say, well, I would learn the opposite from that source. Okay, so here goes the source. Where are you going to learn a mechin babalat surato from? From a case where it's not nidbalabalat surato. And then we're going to say, well, if it's nidbalat surato is this way, then obviously, if its form is still intact this way, then we'll assume they're trying to teach you that when the form is not intact, it's not the halacha. That's what he's going to assume. So let's see. So he says, you must have learned it from here. Either Rabbi Shabtai said it in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala. Migdala means either he came from Migdal, the city, or right near Tveria, or he's known, he's called Migdala because he had something to say about a sugya, about a Migdal. About a tower, I think it was a sugya in Baba Metzia, and based on that, he got his name.
Maybe he was really tall.
Which often happens. Or he was really tall. Could be. That's also a good answer. Didn't see anyone say that, but it's a good answer. Okay, one said it in the name of the other, we're not sure who. But here's what they said. You see, it's the opposite case. It was burned, but the skeleton was still in, or the main part of the body was still intact. Later, the Gemara is going to ask, how could that be? If you burn it, how could the body still be intact? Well, we'll get to that. So, tameh, okay? It's tameh. So now you can obviously assume that what? It's tameh, and therefore, if it's not, the shelet isn't kayam, well, then it wouldn't be. It would be tahor, and that would be presumably where Rish Lakish gets his proof from. But it doesn't just end there. So now they say, Ma'aseh haya v'tim'u lo p'tachim gdolim v'tiyahu lo p'tachim k'tanim. Okay, what does that mean? It was a case that happened, and there was this mate in the house. Now, I need to give you some background. We've talked many times about tumat of a house. But we didn't really get into all these details. Maybe we did at some point, I don't recall, but probably at some point we've talked about this. When there's openings, okay, like window frames, door frames, and they're open, so tuma also goes into the door frame. Now you have to remember, they use that space, just like we talked about the other day, the ovens and how the handle would get in the way and they would want to take the handle off so to save space. They put things everywhere in their houses. So on their windowsills, there were tons of things. And anything, or potentially there were, anything that's in one of those p'tachim that are open, since theoretically the mate could go out, you know, basically that's all that open space is still considered the house space, even though it's kind of in the exit of the house. If the p'tachim are closed, okay, this is only if they're open. They had a lot of these open windows in their houses. If the window's closed or the door space is closed, then it's not tameh in the door frame. Again, it depends how it's closed. It has to be closed before the frame. But then we assume it's not going to be tameh. However, the rabbis would go there and said, even closed frames, let's say everything's closed. Now the mate, the assumption is, why is the opening tameh? Because the mate could potentially go out that way. The mate's not walking out that way, but someone would carry the mate out that way. So if they're all closed, then what we do is we say, well, the ones that theoretically the mate could go out of, and that depends on the size, if it's more than four tefachim by four tefachim, then we assume the mate can go out that way because it's big enough. If it's big enough for the mate to go out, then we're going to say it's tameh even if it's closed. Everything under there is tameh. But if it's less than 4x4, which is what we're going to call p'tachim k'tanim, then we're going to assume the mate can't fit through, right? Imagine a small window. You can't fit a dead body through the window. So that's going to be tahor. So there was a maaseh that happened. There was this sheled that was nisraf, you know, a mate nisraf, his sheled was kayam, and they said all the p'tachim k'tanim in the house are tameh. Because theoretically, it could have gone out that way. But tiyahulo p'tachim k'tanim. Okay, that's the whole statement of Rabbi Yitzchak or Rabbi Shabtai. So he says, so what did you infer from here? Kadiyak tamine, you infer from here what? Tama, the whole reason why the Ptachim Gdolim were was Tumeim was because Dishildo Kayemet, because it was still intact. Halav Hachi, but if it wasn't intact, what would you say? Tahor, right? Then the whole thing would be Tahor and there wouldn't be any Tumah. But comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, Adrabah, I can say exactly the reverse. Dok mina lahaygi, so you can actually infer the opposite. Shuldok hayemet hu detiarol ptachim ktanim. Notice there were two sides. There's the ptachim ktanim were going to be tmeim. The ktanim are going to be tovim. Now why? Why would the ktanim be tovim only if the shelet is kayam? Because you can't fit the body through the window. But halav hachi ptachim ktanim nami tmeim. But if it wasn't, if his shelet wasn't kayam and it was a mech in his babalat zurato and it's just like in pieces or you know it's some small. Right, ashes. Then halav hachi ptachim ktanim nami tmeim. Why? To kol chad bechad chazela fuke chad chad ever. You could take it out in parts. It can get through the window. So dafka, all the more so, a mechitz babalat zurato should still carry tuma and even through the ptachim ktanim. So we now have this machloket. It's interesting. You might have thought maybe Rabbi Yochanan is just being argumentative, but it's clear to the Gemara that he holds that mechitz babalat zurato would be tamei. Against Rish Lakish, who holds that it's Tahor. So again, Rish Lakish wanted to say the Shvir Shetrafu B'meimav, that got mixed up in the water and kind of like doesn't have a form anymore, would be the same as the Mechant Babalat Zurato, would be Tahor. Rabbi Yochanan comes and says the Mechant Babalat Zurato, Bichlal is Tameh. So now, Amarle Ravina L'Rabashi, now we're going to deal with Rabbi Yochanan. Where does Rabbi Yochanan get this opinion from, though? Rabbi Yochanan to Amar Kiman, who does he hold like? So they say he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. Ditnan, as it says in the Mishnah, in Ohalot, Efer Srufin, if you have ashes that are burned from a dead body, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shiuran Berova. Okay, meaning, Rova is a quarter of what? A quarter of a kav, that was a measurement, a volume. So a quarter of a kav is the shiur that's metame in Efer. So what do you see here? He holds that Efer is Nitma. Okay? Now they go back to, so we basically have this machlok at Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish about a meitche nitbal balat zurato. So now the Gemara asks, how bichlal could you have a case of a meitche nisraf and his body is still kayemet? So we're going to have three possible answers. Amar Abaye, kigon shesrafu al gabei katavla. They burnt it on a piece of treated leather that was very hard, and the leather won't burn. So because it was burnt on something that doesn't kind of catch on fire either, it didn't burn all the way. And also they say because it was on like this kind of mat, so if the ashes are still in place and the body's still in place. Rav Amar Kigot Shesrafu Al Gabei Apodrim, it was also burned on something that didn't burn, which is, that doesn't burn, not flammable, which is marble. Ravina Amar Kigon Ichruche Ichruche. He singed it. Okay, it wasn't really burnt. It was just singed. Okay, back to hapalot, miscarriages. Tanu Rabbanan. This is a case we saw quoted before. Hamapelet yad chatucha berega chatucha imot me'al leida ve'en choshishin shema miguf atum bal. Right, if she miscarries a hand or a leg, we saw this already. She becomes the mother, becomes tme'at tumat leida. Even though you might think, oh, maybe it came from a gufatum, and if you remember, right, a face without a body without form, and if it comes with a body without form, she's not tmei aleida. No, we don't assume that. Rav Chista v'Rav Bar Rapuna damrei travayu ein notnim la yemei tohach. They say, however, though, she's tmei aleida, meaning, okay, we're going to have a lot of discussions about this today, about, you know, how many days, remember, let's just do some background, okay, we have 7 days for Zachar of, right, she's Tme'ah 7 days for Zachar, 14 days for Nekeva, and then she has Dam Tohar, which is another 33, right, till day 40, and for Zachar, and another 66 for a female, getting her up to day 80. Okay, again, that blood means she can't go into the Mikdash until those days are over, but any blood she sees doesn't forbid her to her husband of the, in the Dam Tohar days. So what do they say here? If she's mipila, a yad or a regel, she's tme'a leida, but she doesn't, meaning she has to wait, okay, we're assuming she probably doesn't know if it's the zachar or nekeva, so she has to wait the 14 days. But after that, any bleeding days, we're going to count them as nida, because we don't really, right? Now we're going to say why in a minute. My taima, why? If we call this a leida, theoretically she should get her dam tohar. My taima, emar hirchika leidata. We might think, you might think that maybe she actually miscarried much earlier and there was a piece still left inside, and therefore we don't know where to count the dam tohar from. Maybe 33 days ago she already had a hapala and she missed it somehow. And now, right, if we start counting Dmei Tohar from there, well, they'll be over by now. Okay? And therefore, you can't start counting. You can't count the Dmei Tohar, any blood after the 14 days, we're going to assume, makes her Tameh. Matip Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now has a question on this. Hamapelet ve'ein yadua mahi pila. A regular woman who miscarries, and she doesn't know whether it was male or female. Teshev lazachar ve'lanakeva. What does she have to do? She has to do the worst of both, right? So how does that work out? Well, 14 days of Nekeva and up to day 40 for the Dam Tohar, right? So she ends up, instead of with 33 days or 66 days, this woman ends up with 26 days because 14 plus 26 is 40. So basically she has 14 Tameh days and 26 Tahor days, just in case it was really a Zachar, in which case she doesn't get beyond day 40 of the Ptur of Dam Tohar. So now we're going to say, if we're worried, right, so she has some sort of miscarriage. She doesn't know whether it was male or female. Isa kadatach kolki agavna emar rechika leidata. You might say, maybe she miscarried earlier and this is just coming after that. And maybe her count started earlier, which means she doesn't get her 26 days of Dam Tohar because they're already past those days. So if you think that we would say Hechika Leidata, then what should it have said here? Hamapelev Ein Yadua Mahi Pila Teshev, right? It should say Litne, it should say there, Teshev Lazachar V'Lanakeva, now I'm reading from the Gemara, V'Lanida. It should have said, she does lazachar v'lenekeva, meaning the worst of both, really meaning nikeva, 14 days. And then, and nida, meaning any blood after that is just considered regular dam nida. So, Abai is going to basically say, really that's the case. It really is that we're worried her chika leidata. And she doesn't actually get 26 dam tohar. Okay, she just gets the 14. The rest of the days are considered nida. Why didn't it say nida, though, he has to explain? Amar Abai, itana linida, if we told you that she waits for Zachar v'lanakeva v'lanida, what would people have thought? They would have thought this woman is suffic whether she had a leida or not. You know, if she's suffic whether she had a birth or not, what about her korban? Remember, there's two important ramifications. There's bleeding, what we do with the blood, and what we do with the korban. You know, if we said Zachar, Nikeva, and Nida, people would have gotten confused and thought that maybe we mean, maybe this blood is just Nida, and maybe there was really no Leida. If there's no Leida, then she doesn't have to bring a Korban. So what would happen with the Korban? If it's Suffolk, maybe Leida, maybe Nida, what would we do? Well, you bring a Korban, but it's Eino Nechal. Why is it Eino Nechal? Remember, what do you do with the bird? You do Malika. And if it's a Korban, you're allowed to eat a bird that was shechted by Malika. Malika is a different type of Shechita. But it's not a proper shechita if you're not bringing a korban. So mishum sefek, you would bring the korban and not eat it. And in this case, you are allowed to eat it because it's vada. We just don't want people to think that maybe they thought it was sefek. We know it's a leida. It's just we can't give you the dam tohar because maybe it was the end of a leida that had started previously. So therefore, it didn't say nida, even though really that would be the case. Okay, another case about ubarim, fetuses, amarafuna. Hotzi ubarat yado. This reminds me in Bechorot we learned this about the animal putting out his arm. So hotzi ubarat yado v'hichzira. So the ubar puts out its hand and then brings it back in. Imot me aleda. So her dmei leida start right then. Shneamar. How do we know this from a pasuk? Vayihi b'lidata v'yiten yad. Okay, this is with Tamar when she gives birth to the twins. It says one put his arm out. Okay, so now. Remember that he learned this halacha from a pasuk. We're going to get back to that at the end, right before the next Mishnah. Mativ Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda now asks a question. What do you mean? Hotzi ubarat yado, she's tmei aleida. Hotzi, and here comes Rav Yehuda, and he brings a braita. Hotzi ubarat yado, ein imo choshesh et l'chol davar. That sounds like she's not concerned for anything, meaning Natam Leida, you don't have to worry, you don't have to treat that as anything. So how do you deal with that Braita, Rav Huna, if, right, the Braita seems to go explicitly against what you said? So Amar Rav Nachman comes to support Rav Huna's statement, and he says, L'didei mefarshei l'mineid Rav Huna, I learned directly from Rav Huna, or it was told to me in the name of Rav Huna, that Lachush, how does he understand, when he said, Hotziu bar v'chzirayim mot me'a Leida, Lachush chosheshet, you have to be concerned for Dmei Leida, but when it said in the Braita, Eini mo chosheshet l'chol davar, it meant, Yimei toha lo yavina la adenafik rube. Again, we're distinguishing between the dam that's Tamei and the dam that's Tahor. So when the Ubar sticks out its hand, immediately you have to just assume any blood from here on in for the next 14 days, unless you know it's male, and then for the next 7 days, is Dam Tamei. But you don't start counting the Dam Tohar. And the Braita was talking about the Dam Tohar. So now the Gemara is going to ask, that's not a good answer, because Baha Eini Mo Choseshet L'Chol Davar Ka'amar. It says, not for anything. Anything sounds like it includes Tohar or Tamei. Anything is anything. So Amar Baye, Eina Choseshet L'Chol Davar Midoraita, Ava Midorabanan Choseshet. So what does he say? Oh no. When it said Eina Choseshet L'Chol Davar, the Braita was talking about on a Torah level. From the Torah, this isn't a Leida. However, the rabbis brought in a gzera and said, well, as soon as it puts out its hand, we're going to already consider that Leida, and we're going to be Machmir and give her Dam Tuma, but not Dam Tohar, because it's only Midorabanan. So that resolves it. We have a Doraita level, which was the Braita, and we have a Dorabanan level, which is Rav Huna. However, what's the big problem? I told you to pay attention to that. Rav Yehuda brought a pasuk from the Torah to prove it. He said, sticking out your hand is Leida. Look at this pasuk with Tamar. So they say, V'hakra kamar, but he used a pasuk. How could you say it's not on a Doraita level? So the obvious answer they always bring in these cases, Midorabanan ukras machta ba'almahu. Really, it's a Dorabanan halacha, but he brought a pasuk so that you remember, right? It's easier to remember, especially visualize Tamar and the twins and the yad coming out. That you'll remember it, but not that it really it's a halacha midoraita. And that's how they resolve Rav Huna. Okay, now we're going to get into, the new Mishnah is going to talk about a tumtum and androgynous, our favorite categories. Okay, a tumtum, someone who has male and female simanim, but it's covered. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't know whether they have male or female simanim. It's covered. We can't tell. So there's no way to know. And an androgynous, which has both simanim of male and female. So what happens if someone's mapele tumtum ve'androgynous, right? So what does she do? How many days does she wait? So obviously we're going to go l'chumra again. Teshev l'zachar v'lanekeva. So again, you're going to end up with 14 days of tuma and 26 days of dam tohar. And by 40 days, she'll be done with that. Any blood she sees after is going to be problematic blood. What if she gives birth to a tumtum and a zachar? Or an androgynous and a zachar, she's mapelet. Okay, she has a hapala of tumtum and a zachar, tumtum and an androgynous. Tumtum and zachar, or androgynous and zachar. So what does she do? Teshev la zachar v'lana kevana. This seems totally unnecessary to say, which the Gemara is going to ask why they say this, because once you have an androgynous by itself and you have to go l'chumra and zachar and keva, then obviously if you also had another baby there, or hapala there, you would clearly also have to wait the same. So what would be the difference? So we'll see. It could be that there really is no difference, and the Gemara's answer isn't even necessary, but that it really came to tell you the next case. Okay, what if it had tumtum unikeva, androgynous unikeva, if it were twins with a female? Well, then teshev l'nikeva bilvad. Then you only need the nikevah, meaning you get your 14 days and you get your 66 days all the way up to day 80. Why is that? Because you're going to get it anyway from the nikevah that you gave birth to. So we don't have the tumtum and androgynous doesn't mess that up. You still get your dam tohar because you had a nikevah. Just like if you had twins, boy or girl twins, you would get the 80 days. So therefore, that case, you know, was necessary. The other case, a little less necessary, maybe just as a foil, although the Gemara is going to give a reason why they needed the tumtum and zachar also. Yatsa mechutach o mesuras. If it came out in pieces, or mesuras means breached, right, where the legs come out first instead of the head. Mishi yatsa rubo hareyu kiyelot. So how do we judge you when you're born? When the majority of the body comes out. Yatsa kidarko, but if it came out head first, ad sheitze rovro. So we learned this before, right? Most of the head comes out is already considered birth. Ve'ezehu rov rosho. And what's rov rosho? Mishiyatza padachto. When the forehead comes out. That's considered rov rosh. Right? I don't know that I would have thought that, but the forehead is already considered the majority of the head. So now the Gemara says, our question that I told you, Hashta tumtum l'chude, v'androginus l'chude, amar teshev l'zachar v'nekeva, tumtum v'zachar, androginus v'zachar, mebaya, what did you need that second case for? It's no different from the first case. Just because there's another zachar with it doesn't make it any different, so why would you have to say that case? So they say, itzrich, you need it. And this goes back to something we saw either yesterday or the day before, I can't remember, but a few days ago, ma'u detema, you might have said, ho'il v'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, isha mazra t'chila yoledet zachar, Ish mazriya tchila yoledet nekeva. Remember this, right? They had a way of determining whether you're going to have a male or a female depending on whose seed went in first, or kind of, what's the word? Fertilize first, or, yeah, okay. So, based on that, we're going to say you might have thought that what? So therefore, you might have thought, you would have assumed if it comes out with a zachar, it must be they're both zachar, because it must be that she was mazra tchila, and that's why she ended up with a zachar. The other twin must be a zachar also. Kamashmalan, therefore, it comes to teach you, could be an option where they both were mazriya at the same time, in which case you'll end up with Zachar and Nekeva, male and female, and therefore we have to assume that you could have had twins that are male-female twins. Amar Rav Nachman, you have to wonder if, I don't know, maybe fraternal twins and boy-girl twins were less common in those days, that they even need to say this. Like, wouldn't people just have seen it b'shetach? I don't know. It seems a little weird that they'd have to prove it here. You know, that it was something that they'd have to specify because people wouldn't have otherwise known. So it's a good question. I don't know. Am Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Tumtum v'androginus sh'ra'u loven o odem, ein chayavin abiyat mikdash v'ein sorfim aleihem et ha'truma. Okay, now we're going to deal with this case for a while. We have a case of a tumtum v'androginus. They saw either a white discharge, which would have been a discharge of a zav if they were a male, but if they're female, it's nothing. There's no such thing that makes you tameh as a female. Zavah as a female is not the same as zav as a male. Zav is a clear discharge for a male, and red, blood, bloody discharge is not relevant for a male, it's only for a female. So now we have this tumtum who either sees something white, or he sees something red, or he, she, whatever he is, she is. So, it doesn't know, is it tameh or not? So it's a case of sefek tumah. Your sefek tumah, you would obviously go through the tahara process, but you're sefek, because you're sefek tameh, so if you go into the mikdash, you're not going to be chayav because you're only sefek. Remember, if you go into the mikdash and you're tameh, if you forgot that you were tameh or you forgot that it was the mikdash, right? You have some sort of he'elem, you didn't remember, and you go into the mikdash anyway, you have to bring a korban, olev yored. But, right, the sliding scale offering. But in this case, you're only sefek, so you don't bring it. And let's say you touch truma, so the truma is pasul. However, it's not pasul vadai. If it's not pasul vadai, what do we always say? Tolin. You can't eat it, but you don't burn it. If truma becomes pasul midoraita, you know, or vadai for sure teme, then you have to burn it. So this is a classic sefek case. You don't burn it. And you don't bring a korban for biat mikdash. Because you can only bring a korban if it's vadai, otherwise you're bringing chulin la'azara, and that's a problem. Ra'u loven va'odim ke'echad. Okay, now this doesn't mean that at the same moment something clear and something red came out. First of all, you wouldn't even see the clear thing coming out, it would turn red. What they mean is, let's say you saw red, so now you're sefek tameh. You haven't yet gone through the tahara process out of sefek. And then you have a white a clear discharge. At this point, you've seen both, you're either a zav, because you're a male, or you're a nida, because you're a female. At this point, you're vadai tameh, it's just that you don't know what your tumah is, but you're definitely tameh. So what is the halacha? Ein chayavin al biyat mikdash. You're still not chayav al biyat mikdash. Aval sorfin alehem et ha-truma. But for sure, if you touch truma, you were tameh and you destroyed the truma, so you burn it. We're going to have to see why you're not chayav al biyat mikdash. So Rav says, this is Rav Nachman saying in the name of Rav, Shenemar mizachar ve'ad nekeva. Okay, what's this pasuk? It's in Bamidbar Hey, where it talks about the people who have to leave the machane. Okay, mizachar nekeva tishachum, michutz lamachane tishachum, v'lo yitamu amachanehem asher nishachem b'tocham. Who is that, right? Kol tzarua, kol zav. Okay, it's all the people who are tmeim. It's the pasuk that tells you you can't be in the machane, meaning in the Beit HaMikdash. here's your source that they can't go into the Beit HaMikdash. So if they went to the Beit HaMikdash, right, it comes to this pasuk, Zachara Nekeva. So Mizachara Nekeva Teshalechu, what do they learn from this? From the words Zachar Ad Nekeva, they learn Zachar Vadai Nekeva Vadait. Okay, the darshan, you have to be a Vadai Zachar or a Vadai Nekeva. If you're not, you're not Chayav, a lo Chum Tum Van Droginus. Okay, that's the halacha that Rav says. So now they want to say, hey, we can bring a proof for Rav from a Braita. It's always better when you can do that. Lema Maseele, let's suggest, now always that gets rejected when they say Lema, let's suggest that the following Braita supports what Rav said. And supports what they really want to say is supports his proof. Tumtum van droginu shera'u loven o odem, ein chayavin abiyat mikdash ve'ein strafim alehen et hatruma. Ra'u loven ve'odem ke'echat ein chayavin abiyat mikdash aval strafim alehen et hatruma. So what do you see here? It says exactly what Rav said. That would be a perfect, perfect proof. But we're going to see it gets a little tricky. So now the Gemara says, my time, what must be the reason of this braita? Lav mishum shenemar mizachar va'ad nekeva tishalechu, zachar va'adai nekeva va'adai ve'lo tumtum v'androginus. Is that not the reason? Just like Rav said? So Amar Ula, lo. Ula says, no. In fact, that's not the reason for the braita. And in fact, what he's going to say is that the braita is holding by a unique opinion. It's an opinion of only one Tana that nobody else agrees with, and therefore it can't support Rav because it's an opinion that was rejected lahalacha. It's for a different reason. It doesn't have to do with the Zachar Nekeva, and therefore it can't prove Rav. It does not say that Rav is wrong, but you can't use this braita to prove Rav. So what are they? What does he say? Hamane Rabbi Eliezeri. This braita holds like Rabbi Eliezer, Ditnan, as it says in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, it's a Mishnah in Shvuot. Remember, we learned in Shvuot all about Hele Mikdash. That was where we had all the details of Hele Mikdash. He says, Hasheret v'ne'elam mimenu. Okay, you have to read the whole pasuk to understand what he's talking about. The pasuk where it talks about going into the Mikdash with Sapek, right, where you were Tameh and you forgot you were Tameh and that you have to bring a korban. It says here, right, if you did it b'shogeg, O nefesh v'yikrahe pasuk bet. O nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh, o b'nivlat chaya tameh, o b'nivlat behema tameh, o b'nivlat sheretz tameh. It gives you a whole list of possible things you came in contact with that made you tameh. V'ne'elam mimenu, and then you forgot that that happened. V'hu tameh v'ashem. Now notice, right next to the words v'ne'elam mimenu, which is the classic, that's why you're chayav, because you forgot and then you did it anyway. It says right before it, nivelat sheretz. So comes Rabbi Lezer and he darshins the smichud of those words. What does he say? V'ne'elam mimenu, hasheretz v'ne'elam mimenu, al helem sheretz hu chayav ve'eino chayav al helem mikdash. He says you're only chayav a korban if you forgot that you touched the sheretz. But if you forgot that it's usher to go into the mikdash when you're tameh, or you forgot that this place was the mikdash, then you're not chayav. Okay? You don't have to bring a korban. Rabbi Akiva omer, v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tameh, Al-Helem Tum'al Chayav Ve'eno Chayav Al-Helem Mikdash. Sounds like Rabbi Akiva saying the same thing. He's also saying you're not Chayav Al-Helem Mikdash, but he says you're Chayav on any Helem Tuma, versus Rabbi Lezer who says you're only Chayav if you forgot about Tumat Sheretz. Okay, so, Vamrina Mai Benayu. So they say, what's the real difference, the halacha between them? Vamr Chizkia, Sheretz Univela Ika Benayu. The difference between them is, because it can't possibly be that Rabbi Lezer thinks only if you're Tame Sheretz. So what could he mean when he says that? And as what if you were tamei nevela behema, right? And then you forgot that you touched a behema. You wouldn't think so. So comes Chizkia and he says the real difference between them is a case of a sheretz nevela case. What does that mean? De Rabbi Eliezer savar. And as what if you're not sure whether you came in contact with a sheretz or a nevela? Okay, this is very much like our case, right? You're not sure whether it was adam. In other words, whether you were Tameh because you were male or a female, right? Whether it's the Adam, the Odem, the red that you saw, the Adom, or the Lavan. So, Ika Benayu, that's Ika Benayu. Sheretz Unevela Ika Benayu, how does it work? To Rabbi Lezer Savar, Bi'inan Adi Yada, I B'Sheretz Itameh, I B'Nevela Itameh. Because the Sheretz appears right before V'Ne'elam Imenu, says you have to know that you forgot that you were Tameh Sheretz. But if you're not sure whether you were Tameh by a Sheretz or by a Nevela, and then you forgot the chlal anyway, whichever one it was, then, right, then that doesn't work. You're not chayav. Rabbi Akiva Savar, lo be'inan. Okay, you don't need to know which one. Okay? So now, Love, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hatam, Be'ina Diyade, Iba Sheret Itame, Iba Nebela Itame. And remember, why did we start this whole thing? Okay, I have to remind you because we're already kind of off track. Rav had said, and what did Rav say? He said, Tumtum and Androgynous that saw Loven and Odem are not Chayav and Biat Mikdash. And we tried to say why? Because it says Zachar Ad Nekeva, right? You have to be either Zachar Vadai or Nekeva Vadai from the Drashah and the Pasuk. They brought a Braita that says the exact same thing without bringing the Pasuk as proof. And they said, wouldn't that be the same thing? And they said, no. The Braita is holding by this unique opinion of Rabbi Lezer that nobody else holds by. And the proof is a different proof. It's not Zachar and Nekeva. It comes from the Sheretz Halacha. So just like he said it there, you have to know either you were Tamei Sheretz or you were Tamei Nevela. Hachanami, likewise, you would say the same thing with this Odem or Loven. Be'inan diyada iba Loven itami, iba Odem itami. So again, you're not going to bring a Korban on Helein Tumah according to Rabbi Lezer in this case because you don't know for sure what you were Tamei. You have to have known before you forgot what the Tumah that you got, you know, inflicted with, okay, or you came in contact with. Aval l'Rabbi Akiva, who basically is the majority opinion here, da'amar mishum tumah mechayev, he says it doesn't matter. You're chayev on any helin tumah. It doesn't matter whether you knew which, if you for sure were tumah, you just don't know, was it sheretz or nevela, no matter what, you have to bring a korban, so hachanami mishum tumah mechayev. Okay, and therefore, that braita, we could say, is a unique opinion, and it's not why Rav said it, because Rav wouldn't hold by that unique opinion. He has a different reason, and therefore the braita doesn't support it. So now they say, Rav, maishna biat mikdash, deloktiv mizachar ad nekeva, tishalech, maishna biat mikdash delo. So why, again, we're going back to Rav, and we're going to now ask a question on Rav. What was his whole logic? His logic was based on this pasuk, a drasha on the pasuk. I shouldn't say logic. The reason behind his opinion was that you're not chayav in biat mikdash, even though you do burn the truma. Why is that? Because dichtiv mizachar nekeva tishalechu zachar vada nekeva vadei below tumtum androgynous. Well, according to that, yihachi truma nami lo lisrof. Well, then we shouldn't burn truma either. Why? Dichtiv, it says in the pasuk when it talks about the tuma of the zav and the zava, what does it say? V'hazav et zovo, it actually starts out with hadava benidata, a woman in nida, or hazav et zovo, la zachar v'lanakeva, and then it goes into dinei tuma v'tahara, which would mean you're tameh, and then and it means you'd if you touch truma, you pass the truma. But what does it say there? Hazavet zavo, and it says hadavah benidatava. Hazavet zavo, la zachar v'lanakeva. Again, the same wording is used. So, what do you see? Maybe you'd only be chayav in truma and vaday pasul the truma if it's zachar vaday and nekeva vadeit v'lo tumtum v'androgynous. So here you see zachar and nekeva must be teaching you the same thing as it taught you from before when we had mizachar and nekeva. So what do they say? No, no, no. This zachar and nekeva is needed for something else. Remember that unique din by a zav that it says im yarok yarak. If he spits, then if the zav spits, then his saliva, right, is also carries tuma. Therefore, they wanted to teach you the laws of liquids that come out of a zav are true also for a zachar in some other case and in a keva in some other case. What case is that? The mitzora. The mitzora has the same thing as the zav, and they learn that from the words la zachar v'la nekeva, and therefore those words are not available to darshan zachar v'dai nekeva v'deit. And that's why it passes the truma, and you can actually burn the truma because it's v'dai. So then they say, Hainami mebaile b'mish sheyeshlo tahara b'mikva prat l'kli cheres. Wait, did I skip something? No. Okay. So now they say, right. So those words are also needed for something else. B'mish sheyeshlo tahara b'mikva prat l'kli cheres divrei Rabbi Yossi. But then there's a question because they say those words la zachar nekeva you need to teach you. That's where I got confused. We're going back to the original pasuk. The pasuk mizachar ad nekeva in our context that Rav darshaned, we're now going to say, wait, but that's needed for a different halacha. It had to say mizachar ad nekeva to teach you humans and not klicheres. Okay? So What and how do they learn that? It's to teach you, mi sheyesh lo tahara b'mikvah, it can only be items that have an option to be tahor b'mikvah. We'll have this halacha that they have to leave the machane. So if you have a kli cheres in the mikdash that becomes tameh, you don't actually have to remove it. You only have to remove items that can be purified, like humans. So it would be humans, and it would be klei matachot, things that could be purified. They have to be taken out of the azava immediately. Okay, that's Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So what do they say? If they wanted to teach you things that are like humans, what should it have said? Im kein dechtov rachmana, Adam. It didn't have to say zachar ad nekeva. And v'chi tema, and if you want to say ikata rachmana Adam, if you said Adam, hava mina klema tachot lo, you might have thought, well, maybe Adam would exclude kelim that could also be tahor b'mikvah. You can't say that because mikol tameh lenefesh nafka, because they already learn it from the previous pasuk. It says mikol tameh lenefesh. They learn also that it could include klei matachot, anything that's like a tameh lenefesh. Tameh lenefesh can be purified, right, in a mikvah, also klei matachot. And therefore, nafka zacharu mikol tameh lenefesh nafka, and therefore, zachar v'nekeva lamali. We've now proven that the zachar v'nekeva aren't necessary to teach you that halacha, because we already learned that from Mikol Tamei LaNefesh, and therefore, L'chidirav. Okay, so therefore we say, it comes to teach you Rav. But now they say, Ve'ema kule L'chidirav Huda'ata. So maybe you would say that the whole Mizachar Nikeva just comes to teach you the Din of Rav, the L'ma'et Tum Tum V'Androginus, and not L'ma'et Kli Cheres, right? What did he say? Rabbi Yossi said, it's to say, not Kli Cheres. So then they say, no, im kein nechtov zachar unekeva, mai mizachar va'ad nekeva, ad kol davar sheyesh lo tahara b'mikvah. Okay, so now they say, no, there's two things. It says zachar nekeva, and it also says zachar ad nekeva. So then they say, ihachi ki itami b'shar tuma lo lishlechu. So then it sounds like, if it's tame with other tumot, like a mate or a sheretz, maybe, right, if a tumtum and androgynous becomes tahor, 1 second. Right, so then we're going to say, so right now, where are we up to? Zachar and Nekeva come to say that tumtum and androgynous don't have to be sent out of the machaneh. But now they say, maybe other tumot, like mate or sheretz, and what was this? This was all to teach us about if they saw loven or odem, zav or nida. But what about shar tumot, right? So maybe you're going to say then, this is just to teach about Zav and Zavah, but not about Shar Tumot, Lo Lishlechu. Maybe then they, if they have other Tumot, like a Sheretz goes on them, maybe they don't have to leave the Machaneh. So what do they say? Amar Kra, Mi Zachar, Mi Tum'ah Poreshet Min HaZachar. Okay? And therefore they say, in other words, if you're going to learn it just from this general Pasuk, about Tishlechu Min HaMachaneh, Mi Zachar Nekeva, why are you using this Halacha specifically to teach about Zav? I think I said the question wrong. Why is it specifically only teaching us about Azav and not teaching us about Shar Tumot? And the answer is because it says Mizachar, meaning what comes out of a Zachar. Okay, and that's why it's halacha specific to the Zav and the Zavah. Okay, so now what comes out of this is that if he actually becomes Tameh, Bemate or Besheretz, right, according to this, he does have to leave the machane. In other words, if you're a tumtum and androgynous, okay, I didn't say it clearly. Let me make it very clear now. If you're a tumtum and androgynous who has sheretz falls on you, the fact that you're a tumtum and androgynous is irrelevant. You still have to leave the machane. The halacha here is only if you saw this odem or loven and you're not sure whether you're male or female, then you don't have to leave the machaneh, and that is because the pasuk says, Mizachar va'ad nekeva, the Mizachar comes to teach you, it's only about things that come from the Zachar.
In other words, it's limiting the kind of tummy that we're talking about.
Exactly. Okay, that the only tumma that we're talking about that they have to be vadai zachar vadai nekeva to have to leave the machaneh for is only things that come out of their body. Right. If it's other tumma, then you would definitely have to leave the mikdash anyway. Now they're going to say, if you're going to darshan this Mizachar ad nekeva, what about Hagabe Erchin, Dechtiv Hazachar, Vitanya, Hazachar Velong Tumtum Vandroginus? Remember, we said the value of a man is 50, the value of a woman, if you say I'm giving the value of this person to the Mikdash, or the value of myself, if you're male, then it's 50, again, depending on your age. If it's female, you're mid-age, let's say. If you're female, you're 30, which we had a whole discussion why females are worth less, right? In those days, they work less. They, you know, they were, their value on the shuk was much lower. So they were less strong, and things were valued based on that. So what did it say there? It said, if you remember the pasuk, it said, "Vahaya erkacha hazachar miben eslim shana," etc. And then it said, "Ve'im nekeva," and we darshan that to say, "Hazachar velo tumtum v'androginus." So then we want to say like this: if you're going to say "mizachar nekeva as lema'et," so what about erchin? It says "hazachar" and it says "not tumtum v'androginus," and then it says, "Yacholo yehe be'erech ish." You might have thought, okay, fine. Tumtum androgynous, we understand they're not going to be worth 50 because maybe they're a female. But lefachot, you would say maybe 30. Talmud lomar hazachar ve'im nekeva zachar vaday nekeva vadayit below tumtum androgynous. They have no value. If you say I'm giving the value of tumtum androgynous, you don't have to give anything to the mikdash. Now, what's the question here? Tama dichtiv hazachar ve'im nekeva. Ha mizacharu nekeva lo memayit. It sounds like the drasha is specifically because it says ve'im nekeva, as opposed to ours, which just says mizachar va'ad nekeva. So now we're going to say, right, it sounds like you wouldn't learn it from mizachar ad nekeva lo memayit. So what do they say? No, that's because ha'hu mibayle lechalek ben erech ish le'erech isha. There, if it had just said zachar nekeva, like it does in our case, you couldn't have darshan what you darshan by us. The whole thing is there. If you're going to darshan from here, zachar nekeva, why did you need the ve'im nekeva there? So the reason you need the ve'im nekeva is because if you didn't have it at all, those words, this goes back to what we saw a bunch of days ago about something being free to darshan it, those words are needed to say, ish is worth this, right? The pshat of that pasuk was, if it's a man, it's worth this, if it's a woman, it's worth that. So you needed those words for, right, lechalek ben erech ish le'erech isha. You needed it to say there's a distinction between male and female. Once, and it's there, it specifically needed to say, Zachar is this, Nekeva is that. And that's why the use of the word Zachar and Nekeva there was specific for the context. Because it says Ve'im Nekeva, it could have just said Ve'Nekeva. Because it says Ve'im, then they darshan to exclude the Tumtum and Androgynous. But in our case, where you didn't need, you could have just said, Tishlub and Amachaneh Kol Adam. The fact that it said Zachar and Nekeva came to teach us this additional thing that it excludes the Tumtum and Androgynous. And again, what does it exclude the Tumtum and Androgynous? Only if they're not sure which sex they were, which would affect what they saw and whether they were tameh because they saw red or clear. Okay.